Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Steve Butella here for Land Academy. Welcome to our Cashflow from Land show. In this episode, Jill and I talk about why specialized bulk mail printing is imperative to investor success. And cutting to the chase, it just saves a ton of money, and it's not like regular printing. And we'll get into it in a minute. Jill, as always, lots of fun. I'm going to try so hard. I'm going to make a personal promise to you and our listeners to not make this a boring technical show.
Okay, good. I looked at this topic. I was a little worried, but I know you're going to make it fun.
All right. So before we get into it, let's take a question from a caller.
Okay, cool. Michael from Orange called in and asked, I love this question. This is such a good question. If you had to start over with $100,000, no education, no credentials, no wife, no kids. So you have a clean slate here. What would you do to become financially secure in Los Angeles or anywhere?
I want you to answer that first. I'll get into it.
I love this question because you know what? How many people are asking themselves this, you know, right now, today, I'm about to graduate. You know, what do I want to do? Do I go, you know, the old rule of thumb was go get a degree, any degree. It's always going to help you, you know, and I'm sure some people, that's what how I take this question is, okay, I'm, you know, I have $100,000. So let's just say the money for college, maybe it's a college fund sitting in a bank. I mean, that's how I take it.
Or inheritance.
And he's sitting there going, no, what do I do? I don't know what I want to do, but I want to be financially secure, you know.
What would you do?
I would invest. You know, I don't want to work. Let's just be honest. I want my money to work for me. That's really what I like to have fun. I mean, you know, I'm good with, I don't have a burning desire to, you know, have a day-to-day operation that I need to be at because I want to do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
However, if I have a good income stream from my money where it's making money for me, then I can still do whatever I want. For example, we all know I played around, had some fun doing some acting stuff months ago. That was really fun for me. But you know what? It was kind of like a hobby. And it's an expensive hobby because you don't make a lot of money. So what if I wanted to act and do plays and things like that? I'd have to have something else bringing in some money so I could afford to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to tell you, I go back to the basics. What are some of the things that I know I'm going to make money on? And I can't find anything better than what we do, which is properties or real estate, however you want to word it. You know, even stock market. I can't put this money in the stock market and know it's going to come back like it should, you know, and at least enough to live on every year. That's not going to happen. $100,000 is not enough money.
No.
You're not going to. So.
No. So can I answer now?
Sorry.
No. No, not at all. I mean, everybody's got I think this is an excellent question. I'm going to try to not get too philosophical, but this question is worked backwards. Money has nothing to do with anything. Start with a blank sheet of paper and what you want to do. If investing in real estate and getting some passive income going and turning some deals and being a deal maker is something that appeals to you, being on the phone a lot and you know, negotiating things, then this it can potentially really be something for you to do. I mean, but some people, they own like a muffler shop or an oil changing shop and they love it, you know. And so start with a blank piece of paper and really do some soul searching about what you want to do. Everybody loves passive income. It's such an overused word. I avoid it. I avoid that
phrase. You know?
Yeah, I mean, the technical term, I think, is cash flow, but it doesn't matter. You know, really just sit down with your spouse or whoever and decide what you want to do. If flipping land and flipping houses and data analysis is something that you're kind of into or you want to learn more about, or you see it like the future like I do, you know, see it as part of the future, this is a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you have 100 grand or 100 million or has nothing to do with it. I'm going to say this one more time. If you've listened to this show and you know, follow Jill on social media. Jill and I on social media, you've probably heard us say it 50 times.
Follow Jill.
50 freaking times probably.
Yeah.
Listen, there's way, way, way more money out there than talent. A lot of new people in this business don't know that it is so easy to raise money if you have a great deal. That's why we don't teach you how to raise money. The people with all the money, they'll find you. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
We get calls all the time. What you want to do is really learn how to find undervalued property. I don't care if you have three nickels. I don't care if you have no money to spend on real estate. If you think that on that blank sheet of paper, this is something for you, then that's what we teach. How to use data, get some stuff in the mail, which is kind of leading into our next point here. Get some offers in the mail, get a good printer to get them in the mail for you, and then field the calls, make some deals, and get some money people involved.
That's great. I want you to be personal. Steven, you just sounded like a commercial. That was an infomercial. Oh, I apologize, everyone.
Maybe you could
no.
cut me off a little earlier next time before everybody falls asleep.
Guy was just good. No, it's okay. You're on a roll. No, I really want to know. I answered this honestly. This is you, Steven. I'm gonna put you on the spot here. You have no idea. You have a high school diploma. You are not married. You have no kids. You have $100,000 in the bank. I want to know, seriously, what would you do?
I'll get all personal.
Okay.
And how old is this person?
He didn't say. Starting over, so dream it up.
I would...
I'm going to say 22.
Let's get a full-time job.
Okay.
I would leave that $100,000 in the bank. Probably, this is what I would do.
What would you personally do? Not get advice.
I would personally put $50,000 into a deep, deep savings account and never touch it ever, ever again.
Okay.
Ever. I would take the other 50 and probably do about way too much research on the internet about what to do. I would probably find real estate somehow and use that as seed capital. Maybe try to match it with somebody else's money or find a good partner or something like that. I'd go through the three steps, education, experience and independent success, and start flipping some land.
Okay.
I don't know if I knew how to make money, you know, hand over fist like we do.
Right.
And something else, I'd probably go out and do that.
Got it.
I'll tell you what I wouldn't do.
Uh-huh.
Buy a small business where you have to work there every day. It has to be scalable. You know, scalable is a misused word. So I would avoid anything. Here's the trap that a lot of people get into. And I would personally, since I'm trying to make this personal.
Thank you. Yeah.
I would avoid any situation where I call it fee for service. So I'm getting paid for the service or the product that I'm selling or making or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you are now limited to 8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I always use a tow truck. Let's say you're an ingenuitive guy, you get a good deal on a tow truck. You open a business and you're rolling, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, and you're getting whatever. You can only take maybe 8 calls a day.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
That's it. It's not scalable in any way. Then you got to buy another tow truck and get another guy. And then now you're
going to
start
losing. Isn't that scalable
now? No, that's not scalability.
Well, you just bought another truck.
Scalability is, that's repeatability.
Oh.
Scalability is writing a book or writing software where you write the software once and you sell it 100 times, maybe 5,000 times, maybe if you're Windows, 50 billion times.
Okay.
Or an app. App's a perfect example. You spend a bunch of money on... Hey, we have an app.
We have an app. I was just going to say, we have an app. And it's $9.99. Just kidding. I like doing that.
Wouldn't that be funny if it was not free?
Hilarious. No, it's very scalable and it's free. So go check out our app.
Yeah.
Land Academy.
So does that answer your question from a personal standpoint?
I think so. You kind of went around it. I got real deep on it and you kind of went way out there. You were still in your professor mode. I was trying to reel you back in.
Have half. Save some money. I would do all that while I had a job, some type of job that I enjoyed.
Like I agree with that.
I was all throughout when I started this whole thing, I was an investment banker
mm-hmm.
and I made great money. So But it just ended up that I was making more money doing this at some point, and I had the math didn't work. I had to leave if I was going to be on my own ever. So
that's true.
And that's, you want to, I'm a big fan of overkill.
Have a job that pays the bills while you're getting going until you know it's going to work.
Right.
That's good. That is good advice.
You want to wait a little bit too long sometimes for things like that. Be real conservative about it.
Right. Cool. Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah.
All right. So I have some questions. This is kind of a me asking you stuff about the specialized printing here. So how long did it take you to figure out what was needed, I guess? Tell us about your mistakes and all that good stuff, please.
So you want to hear about my lifelong mistakes or just about printing?
Printing.
I was ready to talk to you about my lifelong mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like what, this is one of those Jill therapy calls.
No, okay. we're not, dude, what did I call it? Stephen's emotional baggage. We're not getting into Stephen's emotional baggage this time. So, yeah.
Right. So with printing, here's the thing. So most of the printers out there online, bulk mail printing, I'm going to get to, in a second, I'll get to the, like, how this really works.
Okay.
Which is really the reason I made all these mistakes.
Okay.
There's a generic printers out there. So let's say, like, out at West here, we have chains like Kinko's and Alpha Graphics. And I think Kinko's is national, part of FedEx now. But anyway, whatever part.
Does Kinko still exist?
Oh, maybe it doesn't.
I don't even know.
Maybe go to OfficeMax or something.
I don't know. But I know they got with FedEx. I don't even know if they're still around. So I'm not going to look it up.
You walk in there. You walk into one of those places, and they're set up for just about anything. Mm-hmm. They'll anything that's like personal. It's not a big print shop like for magazines and stuff. They're not specialized at all. That's my point. You need to find. That's a big mistake I made.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll tell you, the four-color bleed stuff, mm-hmm. which we have no part of.
Right.
Is expensive. So those machines are really expensive. They're expensive to maintain. So where do they make it up? They make up the money on a print job like ours, which is black and white, number 10 envelope, real simple stuff, real mm-hmm. professional, super professional, but simple.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want to get involved with a printer that's got a ton of overhead and they're trying to make it up on higher margin jobs like ours.
Mm-hmm.
You need to find a specialized printer. Number two. Here, what are you paying for with printing? This is how it works. All printers go get what's called a bulk mail license right from the post office. And it's surprisingly simple to get one. Mm-hmm. So what it does is it allows you to literally print on an envelope a barcode and a number, the actual number of your license. And then when you don't pay for anything yet. And when the letter or whatever you're mailing hits the post office, you get charged for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about 30 cents, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. Right now it is anyway, at the time of recording this. So a stamp's 49 cents. So that is the challenge with the printer. The printer is, he's got to make it cheaper for you than if you stuck a stamp on there yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or you asked one of your kids to lick 50 stamps and stick them on envelopes. So between that 30 cents and that 49 cents is his labor, the materials, the ink, the maintenance, the whole thing. So the higher his overhead, materials and all that, the higher it's going to be the margin.
Mm-hmm.
You want to try to always be cheaper than the price of a stamp. Hey, wait, that's the name of our product.
Well, you know what's funny, Stephen? I don't think people even expect that. Let me back up here. I'm brand new. I'm mailing out who knows what I'm doing, and I'm mailing out flyers for something. I'm going to expect that. Either I'm going to do it. I'm going to expect the stamp price to be what it is. And I'm going to expect extra for the printing and mm-hmm. stuff in the envelopes and putting them in the mail because that's what I'm paying for.
Right.
So I got to tell you, in a good way, you are killing it because what you have negotiated and what you have learned and what you do and how we share it is so huge. Most of us, if you told me, Jill, it's going to take you an average of 79 cents to get one out, I would budget 79 cents.
I know.
That's just the cost of doing it.
That's why people.
But I don't want to do it.
That's
so
why people
it's worth
pay us
it.
For education.
True. You know?
And that's why we set up a smoking deal with a printer
mm-hmm.
so that it is cheaper than the price of a stamp. I mean, what good would it be if I just said, here's the theory. I see a lot of people do this. The theory is it has to be instead of saying, hey, no,
here's how you do
this
it.
This is exactly how you do it. And here's one step after that. Go call this guy. He owns this thing. We have a negotiated because our group's really big. We negotiated a great deal.
Exactly.
Go over here and join the rest of us. He's probably processing other members. Mailers right now.
Mm-hmm.
So specialization in printing is imperative in my opinion.
I have a good question because this is I think this is for me, one of the bigger points, not just the cost of it, but knowing what to send, you know, like, why wouldn't I send a postcard? Why wouldn't I do a handwritten pretend envelope? Why wouldn't I put a picture in there? Why wouldn't I put, you know what I mean? Seriously.
I would ask you that because I think that this topic makes...
There's a lot of discussion.
Really heated about this, and I want you to answer that question. Okay. I think your answers are right, by the way. Always right.
There is so much discussion I see and read and hear about
false
the right way to reach potential sellers via mail, whether it's an apartment building or whether it's a single family residence, an SFR, or just a piece of land. I hear all kinds of different things. And it's comical to me when you really just need to take a step back and realize, what does your seller want to get? So that's really for me. I don't want a postcard. I don't want two resident. And so many people do that. I want a real personalized, addressed to me offer from a credible buyer. So there you go. And that's, if you just take a step back and look at it that, you're going to not do a handwritten pretend thing. I don't want that. I don't even understand that because it makes me think that, is your kid doing these? You don't even have a big company. You know, part of that gives me the wrong vibe. And if you ever send a postcard that says to John Smith or resident, I mean, I'm out, you know, Jill DeWitt or resident, you don't even care if I get it or not. So I toss those. Almost no matter what it is, I don't even look at them anymore.
If you're one of the people who listens to this podcast to get information about how to do real estate transactions because you're not listening just to be entertained, now's the time to take out a piece of paper, pull over the car or whatever, take a piece of paper out because this is really, really valuable.
Mm-hmm.
What are you trying to accomplish here?
That's it.
That's the question. You're spending some money sending out some type of correspondence to a property owner who's showing signs that they want to sell the property.
Right.
Number one, do you think you're going to trick them?
Right.
Should you send them a tricky note like, oh, avoid foreclosure?
Right. That's going to make them want to do it.
If you think that you're going to trick them, you're in the wrong business.
Correct.
You have another option. Are you going to send them a beautiful, color, flowery entertainment piece that says, oh, hello. Hello, Mrs. Smith. I love your 40-acre property over there. If you ever thought about selling that,
mm-hmm.
please give me a call. Maybe we can talk about it, and maybe we'll get together on a price. We would love to buy that from you, I think.
Exactly.
I need some more information. You know what's going to happen? Right. You're going to send 1,000 mailers out on that, and you're going to get 1,000 phone calls.
Everybody's going to call you, and nobody wants to sell.
Nope. That's exactly
or
right.
Or they want to sell at double what they paid because you opened the door.
You didn't. You know why I know about all this stuff? Because I did it all these things wrong. Or you want to send them an offer that says, I'm not horsing around here, Mrs. Smith, and I say this with respect.
Mm-hmm.
You've owned this property for a long time. And by the way, it's 41.1 acres in XYZ legal description, and we buy a lot of property over there. Mm-hmm. We're real familiar with the area. You're kind of showing the signs that you don't want to own it anymore, and I understand that. And again, I don't mean any disrespect, but if you're the kind of person who just wants to kind of check it off your list,
mm-hmm.
You don't want to maximize your price or go through a realtor. We're in that business and we can really help you. And if it all checks out, we'd be happy to send a notary over to your house by Friday
mm-hmm.
with a cashier's check and you just be done with the whole thing.
Isn't that funny?
If you find this offensive, I sincerely apologize, but this is kind of the business that we're in and we have a lot of happy customers. They thank us.
Right. So that's the message you're trying to send.
Yeah.
That's the whole difference. I think if people took a step back and realized what they're sending out, I can't imagine how much wasted money has gone out.
That was my final point, Jill.
Ineffective. Sorry.
No, it's
okay,
fine.
I'm
glad that we reached the same conclusion together because
ineffective mailers, because they're not sending the right message.
That's why it's important to have a specialized mailer company that understands what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mailing part of this is expensive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, it is.
Right? The data piece, I see a lot of people concentrating on saving money with data.
Mm-hmm.
The data piece to this, the one that we have right now, is between 5 and 10 cents a record,
mm-hmm.
depending on what you, that's very insignificant compared to the printing piece, which is about, for us, you know, it's cheaper than the price of a stamp, depending on how much mail you send out. So you don't need a calculator to look at how much does 5 cents times 1,000 cost and how much does 50 cents times 1,000 cost.
Mm-hmm.
So Find somebody that understands what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know what we didn't mention, and I'll leave it on this last point, unless you have something else to say.
No, it's perfect.
You want to make sure that you do a mail merge. You never, Jill alluded to it a little bit. John Smith, or current resident, that gets thrown in the garbage. Your percentages are going to be, if you do this right, you're going to be getting about a 5 to 8, maybe 10% response for people that are interested in selling land. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get about a half of 1%, 0.05, for houses, if you mm-hmm. do it correctly. And you want to make sure that that you're hitting those numbers and doing this properly. And the best way to do that is to do what's called a mail merge. You can look it up on Land Academy or Success Plant. All of our members do it. Mm-hmm. And it's the effect is this. Think if you want to send a love note to 4 people, and you don't want the other person to know that the other 3 people, the one person, the other 3 people are getting it. That's what a mail merge is.
Like an email. It's like there's an email. It's personal with the name and everything. Mm-hmm. You, it's a really easy thing to do. You can, in an afternoon, and it's a whole nother show, and we've done these. In an afternoon, you can do this. That's so it's not hard.
I think we covered it.
Thank you.
Hey, join us in another episode where Jill and I discuss your all-important success in property investment and in life. Jill, I think we did it. I think it was half entertaining and half informative.
I agree.
Nice work.
Thank you. We're getting good at reeling each other back in if we need to. I'm like, okay, going out over here.
You know what we need is like a Nerf football to throw at each other. Like if you get sidetracked too much or something. Or some signals.
We have some signals. What are you talking about? We have some signals.
Some hand gestures.
Yeah. We got some. Are you saying I can up my signals? Are mine too subtle?
No, heck no. All right. No, I think you're right. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. It'd just be fun to throw some stuff at you once in a while.
Thank you.
Let's go buy some property.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.